In Genesis chapter 3, or Genesis chapter 1, God founded the foundations of the world. God created the heavens and the earth. God created man on the face of the earth. Genesis chapter 1, we had the foundation of the world. In Genesis chapter 3, we had the fall of mankind in Adam, and Adam sinned. Adam sinned. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that, wherefore as by one man sin, and death came upon, wherefore as by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. And in Genesis 3 we have the fall of mankind in Adam. And in Genesis 3 we have a promise that was given, the first prophecy concerning the Messiah. The Bible says in verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Adam and Eve knew that one day the Messiah would come. Adam and Eve understood, I believe, the gospel. In Genesis chapter 4, after the death of Abel, the Bible says that there was another seed given, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called the name his name Seth, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed in the stead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And we see this again, the promise given, that one day a Messiah would come, the seed. In Genesis chapter 6, we have the flood of the whole earth in which God looked down upon man. The Bible says, and man was evil, thoughts were evil only continually. Man's thoughts were evil only continually. And the Bible says it repented God that He made man, and He said, I will destroy man off the face of the earth, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? You better be glad. If it hadn't been, we wouldn't be around. Amen? And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God spared Noah and his family. 8 souls, the Bible says in 1 Peter, were saved there, physically saved there from the wrath of God, that God sent down that water upon the face of the earth. For 40 days and 40 nights it rained. But you realize they were in that ark for over a year. Isn't that amazing? They were in the ark for over a year. After the flood, man went right back to his own ways. The Bible says at that time that there was only one language. All men spoke the same language, and they said to themselves, why should we all scatter out? Let's build a tower here that we might lift ourselves up to God. And they built a great tower, and God looked down again and saw that Tower of Babel. And God there, the Bible says, confused the languages and dispersed the people throughout the world because of they could not communicate with each other. And therefore we had the fragmentation of society. And the scholars tell us basically that the world was split up into about 70 different language groups there in Genesis chapter 9 and 10. After about another 100 years or so or less, God found a man. God found a man. God chose a man. His name was Abraham. And Abraham. So we have the family of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, we have the promise that was given to Abraham and Abraham's call. Look there with me. Abraham's call. The call and promise to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That's the call of Abraham. He said, you leave the land. Leave the Ur of the Chaldees. Leave your father. Leave your mother. And go into a land that I will show thee. Verse 2 says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all, not some, not it's not speaking just here of the Jews, but all the families of the earth be blessed. We have the call of Abraham. God said, I want you to come out from your country, come out from your kindred, and go to a land that I will show thee. Abraham had never seen that land. Amen? By faith, Abraham saw it. And therefore, he said to him, I'm going to promise you something. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Make of you a great nation. And time marches on, and Abraham starts on his journey. His dad passes away, and he does some things he shouldn't do there in Egypt. And you go on down through there. God renews his vow to Abraham in chapter 13. Chapter 14, he has a little battle with some kings and restores Lot. Abraham's vision again. Hagar, he takes Hagar to be his wife. God promised Abraham a seed. God promised Abraham a son.
And over and over again, he promises him a son. And chapter 17, God renews his covenant with Abraham. It says that God promised him a seed, and I will bless her. Chapter 17, verse 16, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings shall be of her. And in chapter 18, we see that some heavenly visitors visit Abraham. And again, God promises to Sarah and Abraham a son. A son. A son. In chapter 19, we have the angels visit Lot there in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham is deceives Abimelech. In chapter 21, we have the birth of the son. The birth of the son. The son's name is Isaac. By the way, the name Isaac means laughter. Means laughter. When God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a child, and he continued to promise it in chapter 13, 14, 15, and continued to promise it, the Bible says that there in one part, when the angel of the Lord visited Abraham in his tent, that Sarah laughed. Laughed. How can I, a lady in her 80s, have a child? In her 90s, how can I have a child? God said, you're going to have a child. Abraham, 100 years old, how can I have a child? Chapter 1 and 21, they had a child. His name was Isaac. The promise. God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and to take him to a land that he will show him. And God promised to Abraham that he would make of him a great nation and that he would give him a son. And out of that son would come this great nation. Out of that seed, the seed spoken of in Genesis 3:15 and Genesis chapter 4, that through them a great nation would come. Through Isaac a great nation would come. Through them the Messiah would come. The call and the promise to Abraham. Look at chapter 22, our text for today. It says, and it came to pass after these things. It came to pass after these things. The Jews call this the tenfold trials of Abraham. You've had 9 different trials that Abraham has already faced. And again, not just trials, but other areas in which he's faced temptation and several of these things we've already gone through. And Isaac's been born. After these things, 2,100 years approximately transpired between the creation of the world and the call of Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees. That is 4,100 years ago as we look back upon that event. In Genesis chapter 22, we have Abraham after these things, after the deception in Egypt, after the captivity of his nephew Lot, and the defeat of those 4 kings, and great things, the meeting with Melchizedek. I mean, some great events. After these things, the deception with Abimelech. I mean, just great stories. God's promise to Abraham over and over and over again, I'm going to give you a son. His trying to get around God's plan by taking Hagar as his wife and having Ishmael, which today still haunts our world. After these things, chapter 22, verse 1, that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. After these things, what these things? After Abraham was prepared by these various other tests. When I was in school, we had 6 weeks tests. Every 6 weeks you had a test. To test your knowledge of the previous 6 weeks. At the end of that 6 weeks, you had a test, and then at the end of the semester, you had a test. In college, y'all know that you had midterms, and then you had the final term at the break, and on and on, and then you had the year-end final. Man, what a great doozy that was. But in high school, the 6 weeks test got you ready, and the 6 weeks test got you ready for the semester final. The semester final, as well as the other tests, got you ready for the year-end final. How many of y'all would say that? How many of y'all teenagers get that? Do y'all do 6 weeks or 9 weeks? 2 weeks. The way public school's going today, you probably don't do tests anymore, do you? No, you still have them, don't you? You got to do 9 weeks? So 9 weeks prepares you for the test, and then it prepares you for the semester final, for the final test. Abraham had been tested. Not prior to this passage in Genesis 22. He had passed those tests. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Listen, we are all tested. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, right? But He says there in 1 Corinthians 10, He says, but God, who will not have you tested above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. Listen, God is not going to put upon you more than you can bear. God is not going to put a trial or a test in your path that He knows that you can't handle. He knows that when you go into that test or go into that trial that you are ready for it, or else He wouldn't give it to you. Amen? We all face tests and trials, and these things just prepare us for bigger tests. We think about children. We had the fellowship last night at the Randolph's house, and what a wonderful, wonderful thing Abigail and woo, amen? That awesome? Adoption of a child, and it's a great, glorious thing, and all them babies in that house. It was so cool. You know, Jacob and Esau. No, there was no Esau there. But Jacob and Abigail and I don't know who all was there. Ansley and all these babies running around. Really, crawling around. And it was just awesome. But I tell you what, don't take long. That baby won't be a baby anymore. Abigail will be, all of a sudden, she's already crawling good. All of a sudden, she'll be walking around. Right? All of a sudden, she'll be this big and she'll be telling you what to do. No, I'm just kidding. And she just continued to grow. But she grows by way of feeding her. She grows by way of those muscles developing, and she grows and grows and grows, and someday they become teenagers. Let me again remind you, parents. I heard it again the other day. Somebody said to me, Pastor, just wait till your children become teenagers. You'll know what I'm saying. I'm telling you right now, the teenage lives of your children ought to be the best years of your life. They ought to be the best years of your life with your kids. Oh man, I could preach there. But the child grows up. Why? Because been fed, the muscles have been worked, and so forth and so on. Listen, as we grow in our faith, we face smaller tests and smaller trials that lead to bigger tests and bigger trials. So, preacher, boy, that sounds real encouraging. Woo! Man, I'm glad I'm saved, amen? I was just reading there in Romans 12 where it says, you know what? Whatever we face here in this life is nothing compared to what we'll have in eternity. Amen. I'm looking forward to the day heavens will open. We'll be in heaven. Amen. But those tests, those trials just help us that we might face the bigger tests. We think about David and Goliath, probably one of the greatest examples, that David had killed the lion and the bear that prepared him for his fight with Goliath. Amen. Amen. These tests. And here we see Abraham was tested. Tested. Faith muscles are built by way of tests. You want your faith to grow? The tests have to come as well. The test of life prepares for bigger tests. You realize, Christian, the devil is after you. The devil is after you. He doesn't want you to succeed in life. He doesn't want your children to succeed. He doesn't want your marriage to succeed. He's willing to do anything he can to destroy you and destroy your marriage and relationships. He doesn't want you to succeed in your Christian life, your Christian walk with God. He doesn't want you to read your Bible every day and pray and develop that relationship with Jesus as you ought to. So he'll do everything he can. God many times allows testings and things to bring us back on course, to try us, the Bible says, as gold in a fire, to melt out the dross, to melt out those impurities that are in our lives. Amen. And these individuals and churches today that say, well, if you'll get saved, everything will be all right, are feeding you a lie. I tell you what, though, I'm so glad I'm saved. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And though that my testings and trials are not over in this life, I certainly have one who goes through those trials and testings with me. I don't have to face them alone anymore. Not only does He go through them with me, but He gives me the power to go through them, the strength that I need. Amen. I don't know what I would do without Him. I don't know how I could live life without Him. It's the most wonderful thing to be a child of God, to have our Heavenly Father there alongside us, to carry us and to strengthen us and encourage us by way of His Holy Spirit. Listen, this morning, the devil is not after the unbeliever. is after you as a Christian. We must face these tests as Abraham was tested here of the Lord, that we must understand that we've been prepared to meet the next test, the next trial. Oh man, what a great and wonderful man, patriarch of the faith that Abraham was. In verse 2, look there with me, Genesis 22, verse 2, and it said, "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." There's the trial, Abraham. There's the test. There's the trial, Abraham. There's the test. Take thy son, thine only son, this son that was promised to him by way of Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 18, the son that was promised to him. And Sarah laughed. She said, "How can I, a woman, an elder woman, how can I have a child?" And Abraham was, I no doubt, over there saying the same thing in his mind. I'm 100 years old. But they had a son. God kept His promise. And now God has said to Abraham, "Take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him up." You just imagine how Abraham must have felt. Abraham must have felt. I love the way he said simply when God said to Abraham, and Abraham said, "Behold, here I am." Abraham showed great obedience to God. After these things, these things prepared Abraham and also prepared Abraham for obedience. Now he was obedient to God. Let me just say this. Both testing and obedience are product of the school of grace. The education that we have received has brought us to this point in our lives. Both the testing and obedience. The two sides of the same coin. Here am I. Here I am, Lord. Why could he say, "Here I am, Lord," without asking first, "What do you want, Lord?" That's what we would have said. No, he says, "Here I am." How can he do that? How can he just say to God without any conditions, "Here I am, Lord, here I am"? How can he do that? Because of the intercession of Sodom and Gomorrah. He talked face to face with God. He interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. He could say, "Here I am, Lord," because of the promise that was fulfilled by way of Isaac when he was 100 years old. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. How could he say, "Here am I, here I am, Lord"? Because he was a friend of God. He trusted Him. Unconditionally trusted Him. He didn't ask, "What do you want, Lord?" or "What do you want me to do, Lord?" He said, "Here am I." I tell you what, as you go through the various tests of life, there'll come a time in your life, Lord willing, that you just say simply, "Lord, I'm yours. I yield everything to you. Lord, I'm here for you. What? Here I am, Lord." Now, not first taking into account, "Lord, you know this is happening, this is happening, this has happened. Now I'll do it." No, here I am. Here I am. No questions asked. Notice his obedience here. Love this. Notice in verse 3 his obedience. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." I don't know about you, but if I'd have been asked to offer up my son, I'd have slept in that morning. Amen. Wouldn't you? I would have slept in that morning. I would have taken my time. Why did he rise up early in the morning? Obedience to God. Obedience to God. It's not about putting it off. God asks you to do something, you don't put it off. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Boy, we could spend some time there. Rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for a burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Notice this. Not only did he rise up early in the morning, but he prepared for his trip. He prepared for his trip. You see, he got Isaac out there that evening, or whenever God asked him to do it, and he got out there that evening, and they began to cut firewood. They got the animals ready. And when they rose up early in the morning, he took Isaac, and he took the wood, and he took all the things he needed, the knife and the fire. He had everything prepared for his journey. Everything ready. So that when he got to that mountain, when he got to that test, when he got to that trial, he didn't make excuses. A lot of people today make excuses of why they don't obey God. My favorite one is a saying from Dr. Curtis Hudson. He said he knocked on the door one day and he was trying to encourage one of his members to come to church. They kind of had fallen out of church. And he said to them, boy, sure would like to have you come to church. And the man said, well, I have milk in the refrigerator, preacher. And the comment was, any excuse will do. Amen. Boy, we like to make excuses. There was a marriage supper in the New Testament called, and God called this marriage supper. A king called a marriage supper. And when he called the marriage supper, there was all sorts of people there that made excuses. One said, I can't come to the marriage supper because I've got a piece of land I need to go sell. Another individual came to the king and said, I can't come to your marriage supper because I've married a wife. He said, I've married a wife. Anyway. One said, I've bought a piece of ground and I've got to go till it. I've got to get it prepared for the harvest. I mean, they had all excuses in the world not to come to the marriage supper. Finally, the king said to his servants, go get the hobos. Go get the down and outers. Go get them. Fill my house up. Listen, we can make all excuses in the world for not coming to the King of Kings and serving Him. Any excuse will do. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? Abraham didn't make excuses. He prepared for his journey. He prepared, had everything ready for his journey and for the ability to obey. Then we see something else here. It says, verse 4 says, chapter 22, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. The third day, he lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Boy, I'm telling you, many times a testing, a trial, takes more than just 30 minutes. Amen? I don't know about you, but some of my trials or testings have lasted a lot longer than 30 minutes. And we go through tests, and we go through these trials, and no doubt Abraham, as he's walking with his son Isaac, knowing that he is going to have to offer up his son, knowing that his son is as good as dead, and here they're walking along, and no doubt talking about all sorts of things, that a dad would talk to his son about. Abraham didn't quit on that journey. Let me tell you, Christian, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. When all seems hopeless, don't quit. When you feel your very lowest, don't quit. The Bible says, for His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen? He will give us strength. Listen, we don't quit. They continued on their journey, and Abraham said unto his young men, verse 5, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Oh, there's so much here. Just imagine as Abraham said, we'll come again to you. He had confidence they were coming back. Why did he have confidence? Let me go ahead and just get ahead. Hebrews chapter 11 says, in the New Testament says, that Abraham knew that God would raise up Isaac from the dead. Abraham knew it. Abraham knew that God would raise up Isaac from the dead. As he made that journey, as he no doubt dreaded the journey, by faith when he was tried, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. What promise? That through Isaac, his he would become a great nation. Through Isaac, this only son, his nation or his seed or his kindred would number as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the seashore, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 11 says this, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. Abraham believed
the promise of God. He believed the promise of God that through Isaac, through Isaac's seed, a great nation would come. Through Isaac's seed, the Messiah would come. Abraham believed God. He believed Him to such an extent that he believed when he took his hand and came down to slay his son, he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead.
Abraham took the wood, verse 6, and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. I don't know about you, but if I was in this situation, I believe I would try to take the burden off my son. I think I'd put the wood on my own back. Jesus took that cross, amen. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? One of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. Verse 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. God will provide Himself a lamb. Again, Abraham understanding that Isaac would live. We have here the sacrifice. The sacrifice. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. There are many different parallels between Isaac and Jesus Christ. Isaac was the only son of Abraham. John 3:16, the Bible says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God the Father gave His only Son as Abraham here offered up His only Son. You understand here at this point that Abraham's about 120 to 130 years old. You understand that Isaac was about 25. As you know, most of you know, me and my family have been pretty rough. I was raised pretty rough. We like to wrestle and do all these things. I'm built like my dad and did a lot of arm wrestling and wrestling in the house. And so it was always the opportunity there to whoop my dad. I wanted to get to the place where I could beat him in arm wrestling. And for years, I couldn't beat him. I mean, I just couldn't beat him. And my pawpaw, my dad's dad, saw us arm wrestling one day, and my pawpaw pulled me aside, and he said, Your dad is cheating. The reason why you can't beat him is because your dad is cheating. And he said, Here's what he's doing. My dad, while we were arm wrestling, was taking his other hand and using his other hand to push me back. And he said, go again at it. So this time we got down to arm wrestle, had our hands there, and when he went to pull his arm back, I pulled his arm like that and put him down. I was like, yes! Beat my dad in arm wrestling. A few years later, we were at the lake, and over there, close to Gainesville over there, Possum Kingdom Lake. My dad had rented out a cabin for all the kids to come down, and the grandkids, and have a good time. We're out on the dock. Really the very first time that I whooped my dad in wrestling. First time he couldn't throw me in the water. In fact, I threw him and my brother both in the water. Of course, I outweighed them like 35, I don't know. But it was a great thing that I could, you know, here I was 25 years old and I'm whooping the dad, you know. I finally got it. I didn't feel bad about it at all. Still don't. But I was 25. My dad was probably 50, whatever he was at the time, 50. And just think about it now. I was 25 years old, and I was taking my dad to 50. And my dad's 60 years old now, and some of you have seen him. He's still in great shape. And anyway, my dad can whoop your dad, that type of thing. You just imagine, here's Abraham, 125 years old, has a 25-year-old son. I wonder who could take who. Listen to me this morning. Listen. Abraham offered up his only son, but listen to me this morning, his son willingly offered up himself. Abraham didn't have to shackle his son and throw his son down the ground. He couldn't do it physically. They gathered some rocks, they gathered some boulders around there, and they built themselves an altar about 4 foot high, long enough, wide enough. And when it was time to sacrifice his son, Isaac walked up, climbed up on top of that altar, and allowed his father to tie him down. And Abraham took that knife. Abraham took that knife. The Bible says he took it up to slay his son. Listen, Jesus, nobody took Jesus' life. You can't blame it on the Romans. You can't blame it on Pontius Pilate. You can't blame it on that Jewish crowd that said, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" No, Jesus said, "No man takes my life, but I lay it down." Jesus Christ willingly laid himself down for us. He gave his life for us. Isaac laid himself down on that cross. Listen to me this morning. This is the promised seed. The seed of Abraham, the promised one of whom a great nation would come. As he laid his son, as his son lay down there and as he took the knife, he understood that through this son, a great nation would come. Through this son, the Messiah would come. As Jesus there on the cross died for us, the Messiah understood. He said, he looked through time. Isaiah 53 says, he saw his seed. That's us. He prolonged his days. Jesus Christ died on the cross because he saw us. Jesus Christ stayed on that cross because he saw us. He saw me. He saw you. And the salvation that he would bring to us by way of a sacrifice. Now, Isaac does not complete the picture here because God stayed Abraham's hand. You understand, as Abraham and Isaac walked that 3 days' journey, that Abraham got to feel what God felt when Jesus was on that cross. He got to feel what God felt when Jesus was in that tomb for 3 days. Again, the picture here only holds to a point. Isaac was saved. Isaac was reprieved from being the sacrifice. The angel stayed Abraham's hand. And there was a ram, the Bible says, caught in the thicket. Look there with me. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham!" And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." What great obedience. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. The ram completes the picture this morning. The ram died in the place of Isaac, died in his stead. Listen, Jesus Christ went to that cross. The Bible says he had no sins of his own. But there he went to the cross and died for me. He died in my place. God the Father made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ took upon himself the sins of the world, and there he died for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. Why? That we might have everlasting life. That we might escape the wrath of God, hell. That we might have a home in heaven, that our sins might be forgiven. Listen here, if you're here this morning, Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ gave His life for you. He was your substitute. See, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The penalty of sin is death. We deserve death, hell, and the grave. Revelation chapter 20 says, "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." This is the second death. But God, who is rich in mercy, not willing to give us what we deserve, sent His only begotten Son to die in our place. He died in our stead. The ram died in Isaac's stead. Do you know Jesus as your Savior this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? As you think about this, the New Testament says, Christ says in the New Testament, that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Listen to this now. Christ said in the New Testament that Abraham rejoiced to see the day that Jesus would come. You realize Christ said that Abraham looked forward and saw his day, saw Jesus' day when he would come? Galatians chapter 3 says that the gospel was preached unto Abraham. As Abraham offered up Isaac there on that mountain, the Mount Moriah, God revealed to him several things. The last point here is, not only did we have a test of Abraham, not only was he obedient, not only do we have the great sacrifice, but we also see a great reward, the great blessings that were given to Abraham. What blessings were given to Abraham because of his obedience? What blessing was given? Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What was the blessings that Abraham received? Number one, God revealed Himself more fully to Abraham. Jehovah Jireh. God revealed Himself by way of a new name. The Lord will provide. Let me tell you this morning, God will provide. God's promised to supply all of our needs. Amen. The Lord will provide. God blesses obedience. God bless faithful Abraham. Look at verse 15, and we're done. Verse 15 through 19. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all, you ought to circle that in your Bible, all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. And Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. God said to Abraham, because of what you've done, I will bless you. I will bless you. Your seed shall number as the stars in heaven, as the sand of the seashore. I will bless you, bless your seed. How did God bless Abraham? He revealed himself more fully through a new name. He withheld the trial, stopped the trial, because he had approval of God. Don't you want the approval of God? Christian, this morning, don't you want your Heavenly Father's approval? He said there, I approve what you've done because thou fearest me. He got a clear view of Jesus Christ there on Mount Moriah. He looked down through time and saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, He saw my day. Galatians says the gospel was preached unto Abraham. The gospel, what is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Abraham clearly saw the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a fuller promise given to Abraham in regard to the seed that would be given to him. Listen this morning, God rewards obedience. Christian, are you obedient to God or do you have conditions? And when you do try to obey God, do you make the necessary arrangements to obey Him? Or do you try to put a few things in the way to make the path better for you? In other words, do you direct your own path or do you allow God to direct your path? Obedience. Obedience. Jesus Christ made a great sacrifice on Calvary as Abraham offered up his only son. And then God rewarded him. This mountain, this Mount Moriah, where Isaac was offered up by his father Abraham, is the same mountain that Jesus Christ was crucified on. You say, preacher, are you saying that figuratively? No, I'm saying geologically, that is the same mountain 2,000 years later that Jesus Christ was offered on and gave His life for. What a great picture Isaac is of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great sacrifice His Father made in obedience to God. Well, let's be obedient. Let's sacrifice for the Lord. If you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I pray you get that settled today. There's room at the cross for you. If you'll be obedient, God will bless you. Let's all